People in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo want the UN to leave. They say the mission has failed to keep them safe. Several civilians and peacekeepers have been killed in days of unrest. So, if UN troops can't keep the peace, who can? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. People in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo say they've had enough of UN peacekeepers. At least 12 civilians and three members of the local UN mission known as MONUSCO have been killed in days of protests. Dozens have been wounded. Demonstrators attacked UN bases in at least four cities in the provinces of North and South Kivu. They say UN troops have failed to protect them from armed groups, including M23. Some protesters say peacekeepers opened fire on them. The UN denies this and has accused protesters of snatching weapons from Congolese police. And the UN's children agency says kids have been manipulated into joining the unrest.
Congo is our heritage. Congo is for the Congolese. Ever since MONUSCO came here, they have done nothing, nothing. People have their throats slit every day. And while we are meant to have a UN mission to keep people safe, the population is being massacred. They are being killed like sheep in the presence of that MONUSCO there.
When they go home, we're going to take care of things ourselves. They say they don't have the means to combat the M23 rebels, so we are going to defend ourselves on our own. If they don't leave today, we are going to keep demonstrating until they do.
The UN says attacks on its peacekeepers may constitute a war crime. Its chief of peacekeeping is due to arrive in the country on Friday.
The situation today can be described as normal fragility, if you wish, because with the advocacies we've made with the government since Monday, the Prime Minister, there have been some reinforcement of national security forces on the ground, securing our bases and installations. We've also reinforced troops from our own contingents to ensure that security is restored. We do have certain pockets of still insecurity, particularly in South Kivu, in Uvira territory in particular.
UN peacekeepers have been in Democratic Republic of Congo for more than 22 years. More than 16,000 military personnel and police are protecting civilians and supporting the government's peace efforts. Most of the forces come from Pakistan, India and Bangladesh. MONUSCO has a budget of more than $1 billion a year. Its mandate was extended for another year last December, but troops have struggled to contain violence from armed groups in the east. In May 2021, the Congolese government placed the north of Kivu and Ituri provinces under what it called a state of siege. Since then, the number of civilian deaths has risen sharply. Let's bring in our guests. In Brussels, Jean-Maubert Senga, a researcher for the Democratic Republic of Congo at Amnesty International. In the eastern Congolese city of Goma, Passy Mubilama, founder and executive director at the Action and Development Initiative for the Protection of Women and Children. She joins us on Skype. And from Tilburg in the Netherlands, Felix Enderhinder, an independent researcher focusing on conflict, peace and justice in the Great Lakes region of Africa. A warm welcome to you all. I'd like to begin in the Netherlands with Felix Enderhinder. After 22 years, surely this is now a failure of the UN peacekeeping mission, and they just need to leave.
I like always nuancing things, of course. I guess much has saying that is a failure has to do with what expectation you have about a UN force intervening in any context, and in this case, in the DRC. The UN went there as a peacekeeping mission, not a peacemaking mission. Sometimes the legalistic nuance seems just to be meaningless, but in many contexts, we know from an empirical perspective, UN rarely makes peace. UN tries to keep peace between belligerents, but the idea of making peace really most of the time is left, let's say, to the actors and to the diplomatic, let's say, and many other channels that are used in order to make peace. Yes, there is a lot to say about MONUSCO, what he has done and what he's not done, but the expectation that MONUSCO will go there in the DRC, a country of plus 100 million people and 2 plus million square kilometers and make peace, even with a force of 20,000 plus personnel, was a little bit naive, I would say. Mm. That being said, of course, yes, there have been shortcomings in terms of how MONUSCO get involved with different actors, both local actors, how much they are involved, and how much they are activated in their own agency in making peace or in taking that road towards peace.
Jean-Maurice Senga, we make an interesting point here. The peacekeeping forces are about that. They're about peacekeeping, not peacemaking. But it seems to me if you've lost the support of the population, then you're actively actually encouraging violence, which is what's been happening in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. So is the peacekeeping mission a failure in your eyes?
I concur with most of what the other discussant has said. I think it's a bit a mixed result when you see what the situation was 22 years ago when the UN first intervened in DRC between the belligerents to try and make sure that the peace agreement was respected and where we are today. The UN has played an important role in ensuring that the Lusaka and the Sun City protocols are implemented and that the Congo is reunited. You know, back in 1999, when the UN mission to Congo was created, Congo was split into three big parts with three with two or three big rebellions and the government in Kinshasa. And the UN has helped to a certain extent reunify the country. It has also helped with the electoral and democratic processes. The elections in the first democratic elections in 26 were largely supported by the international community, including the UN. Now, when it comes to peacemaking or peacekeeping, it's true that UN does not make peace, but actually in DRC, it was the first time the UN was trying to make peace. In 2013, the UN Security Council created the Force Intervention Brigade with the mandate of fighting and dismantling armed groups. It had an offensive mandate. It was the first time in the UN history, in the UN peacekeeping history, that a UN operation was given an offensive group towards armed groups. And it succeeded in defeating the M23 back in 2013. But ever since, it has also gone, let's say, sleeping. The answer, the straight answer to your question is that it's a mixed result. There have been successes and there are many failures, which can explain the frustration expressed by the people in the streets of North Kivu in recent days, but also in recent years. This is not the first time there is an uprising against the UN. Right. There have been many uprisings against the UN, and this is just the last one.
Well, let's bring in Passy. Well, let's bring in Passy Mubalama now from Goma. Passy, the same question to you: has the UN peacekeeping mission failed?
I think actually the UN mission has failed. As you have seen, that there is a huge tension actually in North Kivu regarding the departure of the MONUSCO across the country, and especially in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where there are still so many people killed every day. People in the street have been claiming peace, security, and you know, the departure of MONUSCO, because they have been in the country for more than 22 years. And we think that this is too much time and there should be impact on the ground. As you know, this is like a biggest mission of the United Nations in the world. But unfortunately, what we are seeing, or what we have been seeing on the ground, is that civilians are still killed, women are still raped. And we can say that the situation has been the same since 22 years now. And for me, if they can't do their mission, I think it's time for them to go and keep the Congolese government to protect the Congolese citizen, as that is also in the duty of the Congolese government.
Felix, Passy has just said that, and she works for the protection of women and children, that women and children are being failed by this UN peacekeeping force, that it is a failure, and perhaps it's time to try something else. What is that something else? Is there a something else?
That's exactly quite a very important question, I guess, to raise here, get us the whole discourse around the need for MONUSCO to leave. And my easy answer would be probably not. The fact of the matter is that any UN intervention comes somehow to fill a vacuum that is existent. We don't have UN interventions in many countries in the world. It's simply because, let's say, authorities in those countries, including in the security and rule of law sector, are able to perform the basic functions that are needed. That being said, MONUSCO has been the DRC because first and primarily of the broken nature of Congolese politics, of armed activities that are prevalent in the country. Keep in mind that this is an area which has reportedly more than 100 different armed groups, the M23 being one of them. Many reports of the UN, including independent researchers as well, have documented rampant human rights violations by the Congolese army. One of the recent books, for example, by Jason Stearns, but also documenting what is in many reports, has documented or have documented all of those research outputs, the complicities of some even DRC army commanders in, for example, in the hostilities, even in nourishing the different armed groups, because being on the front as an army is a source of income. It has become a business.
Yeah.
Though I'm not making this, these are facts that are recorded.
Right.
That being said, relying on this existing structure all of a sudden after the departure of the MONUSCO to perform the basic function of protection of certain given civilians that MONUSCO has been still protecting over the years, with all shortcomings that we can go through, would be a little bit naive. It's very important to look at, first and foremost, that the fact that much of the failures we are documenting around MONUSCO do somehow mirror the many failures, even bigger failures of Congolese politics in many sense. So at the very national, local, and even regional level, if you will. So it would be presumptuous to say that all of a sudden the
right.
Congolese apparatus will be operational and capable to ensure peace that it has not been
well, let's,
able
well, let's
to do.
Put that, Felix, let's put that point to Felix. Let's put that point to Jean-Maubert Senga. Jean-Maubert, there is no other option, is there? There has to be a UN peacekeeping force because the Eastern Congo isn't ready to police itself, to protect itself.
Of course, there are options. There have to be options. And these are not necessarily military options, because when we are talking about the UN peacekeeping or peacemaking mission, there have been a proposal by the East African community to deploy a regional force. There is an ongoing joint operation between the Congolese and the Ugandan army. There is a state of siege or state of emergency that has been in place for over 1 year. So the response to the conflict in Eastern DRC has been largely military. And I think what has failed before it is the UN or the Congolese, it's the military approach to the conflict, to resolve that conflict. And this has led behind the root causes of this conflict, which include the impunity enjoyed by perpetrators over more than 28 years in this region, in DRC, but also in neighboring countries such as Rwanda and Uganda and others who have participated or have committed serious crimes on the DRC soil. There has been no accountability, almost no accountability for those crimes. And this has allowed them to commit them over and over again. When you see what is happening with M23, that's one of the reasons. 10 years ago, they were militarily defeated, but nobody was held to account. Now they are back again. They can commit again. They can again rape and kill because they know that for sure there will be no consequence. There have been Rwandese officers who have been involved in the war in DRC. They have not been held to account. Congolese officials still now who have not been held to account. Other causes include economic and social and all the issues around the management of natural resources, but also political issues, the legitimacy of power in Kinshasa.
Sorry, Jean-Marbert, we are running out of time, and I do want to come to the other guest. Passy, I want to bring this to you as well. What Jean-Marbert seems to be saying is that actually it's a failure of politics, not just of peacekeeping. But this is the best bad option, isn't it? The politics aren't going to change themselves overnight. So a peacekeeping force is the only way to keep the peace, surely.
Yeah, I think there is a bad politics. But on my side, I still think that the Congolese government has the duty to protect the population. But when we are saying that they are having the big support of the UN mission, I think everything should be different because, as you may know, MONUSCO has a big logistic. They have money. They have a lot of people, I mean the soldiers, and they should put all of that to try to support the government to fight different armed rebel groups we have in the region. You know, actually, the DRC count more than 100 armed rebel group in the region. And sometimes we can't even count only one armed rebel which have been kept away by the UN mission. And I think for that civilian, that people who is in Masisi or in Rutshuru, where all those armed rebels are actually responsible of so many human rights violations. What we want to see or what they want to see is, they just need peace. They just need to be able to go and work on their land and try to find something to eat. And if the MONUSCO and the Congolese government are not able to do that, I think there is a huge problem for us as people and citizens.
Felix, why is this happening now? Why are these attacks taking place today?
I mean, of course, the speakers here just mentioned some of the issues really that have been going on. Of course, it has been, there is some kind of fatigue, rightly so, justified kind of anger by the population who are still very much victimized, the poor whose needs are not met by the Congolese authorities. I can understand that this anger is directed at one of the actors that is visible and has the might and power that is believed to be able to solve the issue. But we keep in mind also that populism and hateful narratives that you have in that country are quite very dangerous and can be lethal. What we know is that this latest spark of violence occurred after on 15th July, so this month. The head of the Senate, who hails from this region, Bahati Lukwebo, from the South Kivu province, pronounced speeches in campaign mode in Goma and in Bukavu, where he basically said MONUSCO needs to leave. He did it in a very populist way. Who are those who want MONUSCO to leave? Can you raise your hands? And so on. So that kind of populism in itself, I mean, academically, you can go and look for how much impactful such a speech is correlated with the violence that we see today, but it's difficult to not to read the two together. So there is that, but also there have been previous attacks, as Jean Maubert, for example, say, in Beni, among many others. So the climate there, which criticizes the presence of MONUSCO, which is seen as not doing enough. But as I said, really, I read always that as part of really the broader structural issues.
Sorry, Felix, we are running out of time, and I do want to come to the other guests. Jean Maubert, just very quickly. Do you agree with what Felix has just said, that actual some Congolese politicians are using MONUSCO as a bashing? They can bash them, it's popular, and that's actually leading to more anger and then more attacks.
Definitely, definitely. The UN is a victim of the lack of leadership in DRC, but also it has its own shortcomings, for sure. And I think the most important now is to know what needs to be done, as the international community is paying seems to be paying more attention to what is going on there. State Secretary Blinken is apparently traveling to the region next week. There should be now be addressing the root causes of that conflict and not just continue to invest in military response, which has shown its limitations and its failures over the last decades. There has to be accountability for those who committed crimes, and other issues have to be resolved through dialogue and political processes.
Percy, what are these root causes then? If we're to attack and to change the root causes of this, it's not about MONUSCO being in the country. It's about the root causes. But what are those root causes?
I think on my side that MONUSCO being in the country is may be good if they can realize their mission. Of course, sometimes there are different politicians who try to manipulate youth in the country, but you can remember that this is not the first time that people are claiming the departure of MONUSCO in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, because most of the time we can see people killed not far from the base of the MONUSCO, and this is unacceptable. So I think it's very important that people can still continue to claim, because it's a right for people if they think that they are not doing their mission. But I really strongly condemn what happened in Goma the next 2 days, where people have used a huge violence to claim the departure of MONUSCO, because I think even we want to claim their departure, we have to do this in a non-violent way, especially talking with our government to make this happen.
Felix, just very quickly, very, very quickly, you've just heard what our last two guests have had to say. Is there anything that you think is positive about MONUSCO's involvement in Congo?
Within the landscape that we painted of armed activities, of even security apparatus, which is still commits atrocities, it's very well recorded that MONUSCO still keeps certain individuals alive in the DRC. So it's still a force that is needed. And I see always the need for departure of MONUSCO should always be tied to fixing Congolese politics, including Congolese institution, the army, the politics, but also the inclusive governance in the country.
I want to thank all our guests, Jean Maubert Senga, Percy Mubalama and Felix Ndahinda. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the entire team here in Doha, bye for now.